The title of this sermon is Another Hoax. The scripture reading is Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, which will be up on the wall, or you can look at it on your Bible. If you will stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures, I will read to you these four verses, which should be very familiar to you. Verse 6 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any angel or man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. You may be seated. Definitely these four verses speak very well about one particular religion, actually two particular religions. One of them is Mormonism. It strives with great effort to masquerade as the, what, restored Christian church, complete with an exclusive message, with infallible prophets, a higher revelation for a new dispensation which the Mormons would have us believe began with Joseph Smith Jr. in the year 1820s. Now, Joseph Smith wrote in The Pearl of Great Price, one of their books, chapter 2, verses 1 through 25, that when he asked the personages who stood above him in the light, which of all the sects, that's what all the Christian churches, was right, and which one should he join? So he's asking, which church is the correct church? That's the same question I asked. I said, which church is right? I was 21 years old. Which church is right? Which Christian church is right? And you got Christian church saying the other Christian church is wrong. It's very confusing. Well, we live in the age of what? Deception. His answer was that the personage gave Joseph Smith in 1820, all Christian churches were apostate. They all were wrong. So there's no Christian church, no Baptist, no Methodist, no Episcopal, no Puritan, no congregation. They're all wrong. Not only that, but all Christian creeds were an abomination to God. No, so there's no Christian theology. And the third thing, all professors of Christianity were corrupt. No Christians. So there's no church, no theology, and no Christians. In other words, a restoration of true Christianity was needed, and that he, Joseph Smith Jr., had been chosen to launch the new dispensation. It all began the year 1823 when the angel Moroni came to Joseph's bedside and told him where the golden plates were hid in the hill Qumrah near Palmia, New York. Smith began to translate the Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics inscribed thereupon by means of the Urim and the Thummim. You ought to read the book when he says how he translated this. A type of miraculous spectacles which the always thoughtful angel Moroni had the foresight to provide for the new budding seer of the new Christian church. The translation taken from the hidden golden plates that the angel told him where to find them became known as the Book of Mormon. Mormon theology is polytheistic, that means many gods. A polytheistic teaching that the universe is inhabited by different gods who procreate spirit children, which in turn are clothed with bodies of different planets. Adam God being the god of this planet. Now, Adam God, they say, had sexual relations with Mary to produce Jesus, the son of little God, little G God. Lucifer was a spirit brother of Jesus prior to his death. They were brothers. The Garden of Eden was located in Missouri, not in Asia. Mormonism is a universal religion, for they believe in universal salvation, that all men will be saved, but each in their own order. Can you tell from just the above, that's just a few things they believe, that Mormonism is definitely not Christian? It didn't restore Christianity. It eliminates it. In fact, there are two major branches of Mormonism, each one claiming to be the true church. They have even gone to court, each claiming to be the true restored church, and they also proclaiming the other one as a false church. So you got a true Mormon church, a false Mormon church. Do you remember what Galatians 1:8 told us? Don't let an angel tell you another gospel. That is exactly what Mormonism is. Another gospel was taught to its leaders by an angel. And they have millions and millions of members right now and growing very fastly. But there was also at the same time other religions that were restoration churches. The Church of Christ up down the corner, Route 18, is a restoration church. Disciples of Christ, the Christian Church are examples. We even have a powerful preacher who was converted to Mormonism from these Campbellite churches from the state of Ohio. His name was Sidney Rigdon, who became a noted theologian of the Mormon Church. He's the one that built the temple up near Cleveland in Kirkwood. He was later accused of apostasy. Well, really, Joseph Smith hooked up with his wife. He was accused of apostasy and excommunicated from the Mormon Church because of his famous sermon that he gave that got the citizens of Missouri against the Mormons. It even got the Mormon leaders thrown in jail. And there are a host of other churches who consider themselves as being Christian, but they're not Christian. For example, Jehovah Witnesses and the Watchtower. They say they're Christian, but they're not Christian. Their Jesus Christ is nothing more than an angel. Christian Science, think they're Christian? Nope. How about Seventh-day Adventism? How about Scientology? How about the Vineyard Churches? How about Benny Hinn Ministries? How about the Quaker and Shaker Churches? How about Pentecostal Churches? How about Joyce Meyer Ministries? How about the Unitarian Churches? And on we go. Well, that's the first thing. Mormonism is not Christian. It is a mess of theology, let me tell you. The second thing I'm talking about is witches. Now, there's a very popular song in the 1960s that was written by either wizards or wizard-influenced people. I have the lyrics up on the wall. This is a very popular song made famous by Simon and Garfunkel, who were who were Jews from New York, what they were. It's a very good song. Actually, everyone knows it. The Sound of Silence. I heard these songs. You don't really get what the words mean, but you just kind of sing along with it. Hello, darkness, my old. Now, after Mark gave the sermon, we're going into, what was the name? Going Dark? Is darkness our friend? Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. Now, there's a Bible verse talks about that. Something happened when you were asleep. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. Boy, this is a bad song. Most of Garfinkel's, Simon and Garfinkel's songs are terrible. And almost all these songs in the 60s were horrible. I'll give you the rest of the words. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Beneath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share, and no one ever dare disturb the sound of silence. Fool, said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words like silent raindrops fell and echoed in the wells of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon God they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said, the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and tenement halls. What prophets are those? And whispered in the sounds of silence. I got much of the next following part about the witches from the late pastor David J. Meyer. Does anybody know who he is? He is the author of The Last Trumpet Ministers International. He puts out a newsletter. He died about 4 or 5 years ago, and his son now keeps up the newsletter. Well, David was a wizard. He was an actual wizard. His whole family was wizards in the 1960s. And he was changed after he reluctantly attended church with a friend. He didn't want to go to church, but he just went along. He later went through the process and became a pastor. And he constantly warned of the practices of witches that were coming into Christianity. So I think that's why his newsletter became so popular. Now, what happened during the decade of the 60s? Well, somebody was born. J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling was born. Who's she? She's the woman who wrote the four books known as Harry Potter series. 1960s. The song came out in 1960s. These books are instructional manuals of what? Witchcraft. Now, David Meyer was involved in witchcraft. He was a wizard. He says, he's the one that wrote this. I just copied it. He says, it's witchcraft. It's an instructional manual for witchcraft, woven into a format of entertainment. These four books each teach witchcraft. Now, witchcraft was very different in the 1960s. I think a lot of us were alive in the 1960s. It was different back then. There were a lot fewer witches, and the craft was far more secretive. But what David Meyer began to see was that fundamental Christian churches celebrated pagan holidays and Sabbath known as Christian holidays. Well, we understand that. Christmas is a witchcraft holiday. We celebrate it. It's a big hootie-doo. The so-called Christian churches were compromising and unifying. Eastern religions and New Age doctrines began to captivate congregations. It was a satanic setup, and Illuminati conspirators were bringing forth a one-world religion with a cleverly concealed element of occultism interwoven in his teachings. David Myers said, in order to succeed in bringing witchcraft to the world and thus complete satanic control, an entire generation would have to be induced and taught to think like witches, talk like witches, dress like witches, and act like witches. But to do all those, I guess they're a witch. The occult songs of the 1960s launched the Luciferian project of capturing the minds of who? An entire generation, usually the younger generation. And I was right there. I have to confess to you, they got my mind. In the song, The Sound of Silence, we go back to that first, was it a stanza, the first part, the stanza? We were told that there were seeds that were left while an entire generation was sleeping. And that there was what? A vision that was planted in my brain still remains. Now, they sang under Columbia Records, Washington, District of Columbia Picture, Columbia. Well, I'll bring a message on that sometime, but that's a goddess. Simon and Garfield recorded on Columbia Records. Most of the recording studios published music that promoted, you think they promoted Christian behavior or anti-Christian behavior? Well, it's not even close. They promoted anti-Christian behavior. Now we're in the year 2014, 1960s. That's about 50 years ago. And the songs are still playing. I bet you turn the radio on, you'll hear Songs of Silence come up. And you hear all the songs of the 50s and 60s. All the foundations for occultism and witchcraft are in place. The old people are dying off. The young people who grew up with this music. You see, when I was born, there wasn't rock and roll. I was about maybe 10 years old when rock and roll began. I remember Elvis Presley, the first one that I knew of. But there wasn't any, can you imagine that? No rock and roll anyplace except in New Orleans, the voodoo. Before that, in Africa. The Illuminists have to move quickly. Why? Because time is running out. If you don't think they're moving quickly, look. Just look what's going on in the world. The world is in complete chaos. They're rushing to get everything done. Now, there's a communist revolutionary Jew by the name of Lenin who said, give me one what? Give me one generation of youth, and I will transform. There's transform. I will transform the entire world. Now, David Myers said, now, an entire generation of youth had been given to a woman named J.K. Rowling and her four books on witchcraft. That was the Harry Potter series. Now, besides this, we had what? Bewitched and Charmed and Buffy the Vampire, all these movies and books. But the works of Rowling, the Harry Potter books, are training manuals for the occult. Untold millions of young people are being taught to what? Think, speak, dress, and act like witches by filling their heads with the contents of these books. I remember at school I saw a student reading Harry Potter. I asked her, are you Christian? She said, yes. I love to read these books. I've read it four times. Children are so obsessed with Harry Potter that they've left the television video games to read these witchcraft manuals. The first book of the series, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, finds the orphan, Harry Potter, embarking into a new realm when he is taken to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. At this occult school, Harry Potter learns how to obtain and use witchcraft equipment. Harry also learns a new vocabulary, including words such as, and I'll probably mess up these words, Azkaban, Serki, Draco, Aracid, Hermes, and Slytherin. These are all names of what? Real demons. These are not characters of fiction. These are real demons. How serious is this? By reading these materials, many millions of young people are learning how to work with demon spirits. They are getting to know them by name. The second book is called Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. While the third book is Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Now, Azkaban was the name of one of the demons. Nothing could be more obvious, says this former wizard who's now deceased, David Marr. Nothing could be more obvious that Harry Potter books are pure witchcraft and of the devil. On July 8th at midnight a few years ago, bookstores everywhere were stormed by millions of children to attain the latest and fourth book of the series known as Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. These books were taken into homes everywhere with a real evil spirit following each copy to curse those homes. You see, a lot of the records and a lot of the books, they put curses on them. July 8th was also the 18th day, which is 3 6s. 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 18. From the witch's Sabbath of Midsummer. July 8th was also the 13th day from the signing of the United Religions Charter in San Francisco. These people love to mess with the numbers. Big time. What did the followers of Jesus Christ do when they found out that the books that they had were full of magical arts and promoted demon possession? What did they do? You're exactly right. You can find it, Acts chapter 19, verses 18 through 20, where it says, "And many that believed," so the believers came and confessed and showed their deed. "Many of these also who used magical arts brought their" what together? Their books. Their magical art books. And they did what? Burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it to be worth 50,000 pieces of silver. What a big fire that was. Now keep in mind, these people had been cut off from the covenant of God. When they believed what the truth was, they burned the books. So mightily, because they did that, mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Would that be something? Now, with rock and roll, they burned the Beatles records. There was a movement to burn the Beatles records. The courts have banned the teaching of Christianity in public schools. Well, we see that. But Wicca, which is recognized by the United States courts as a religion and given tax-exempt status by the IRS, is taught freely. Harry Potter has become the method of introduction of Wicca to the very young. You can read Harry Potter in school. You can watch Harry Potter movies. Once introduced to the world of wizards, what, spells, dark arts, readers of Harry Potter can advance their knowledge and skills in witchcraft and paganism by visiting the hundreds of websites that are available on the internet. Or they can purchase more books on the subject from a well-stocked Wiccan sections in a local bookstore. I suggest you go to a big bookstore, like Barnes & Noble, and you go to the teen section. It's changed. You'll find a host of witchcraft books. One study has shown that over half the children in the Western world have read at least one of the Harry Potter books. That is phenomenal. What if half the children of the Western world has read the Bible? They have read about a young 11-year-old generational wizard who attends the prestigious 1,000-year-old occult boarding school, Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. All his teachers are practicing what? Occultists. And tutor their students in the dark secrets of what? Sorcery, divination, fortune-telling, astrology, potion mixing, spell weaving, and curse casting. Everything that they tutor, isn't that against God's law? In 2 Kings 21:6, it says, and he, that's King Manasseh of Judah, he made his son pass through something, pass through the fire. He burned his son up, the Moloch. And he observed times and used enchantments and dealt with mediums and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. It's like he read Harry Potter. He was doing what Harry Potter did. What's the result of that? Made God so angry that he said, Judah, you're going in captivity no matter what. Now, after him, his son rose up, was a good king. You did a good job, but Manasseh made me so angry, you're going into captivity. Harry's World says that drinking dead animal blood gives what? Power. A satanic human sacrifice in Harry's powerful blood brings new life. Demon possession is not spiritually dangerous. And that passing through fire, contacting the dead, conversing with ghosts, others in the spirit world, and more is normal and acceptable. That's what David Meyer said. I think he should know since he was a wizard. I said all that to get to the hoax. And the hoax happened about 5 weeks ago, so it was more timely when I wrote this, but still. The hoax is 15-year-old Cassidy Stay. Anybody know what that hoax was? She told investigators that a man disguised as a FedEx delivery man with a beard as part of his disguise knocked on her door. She opened the door, and he said he wanted to talk to her parents. She told them that they were not there. So he left, and he soon returned. Now, the parents had gone to the bank. Cassidy was babysitting her 4 brothers and sisters. So he comes back. After Cassidy again talked to him for the second time, he explained to her that he was related to her. She then tried to keep him out of the house, but he broke the door in. He then pulled a semi-automatic weapon from his waistband and ordered her to get her siblings. They waited for their parents to return. While they were waiting, he tied up all the children before the parents returned. Once Katie and Stephen Stay returned, they too were ordered to the floor, and we also tied up. So they're all tied up on the floor. The killer, whose name was Randall Haskell, the disguised FedEx man, asked each person in the family where his ex-wife was located. He and his wife had lived in Southern California until they got a divorce. What day did they get a divorce on? What's the most romantic day of the year? Valentine's Day. They got divorced on Valentine's Day. That's witchcraft too, isn't it? After their divorce, his ex-wife came to live with her sister in Texas. She was no longer living there at this time. Cassidy told investigators her mother looked at Haskell and screamed, "No!" And she was shot first. So she's laying down, hands tied, face down, he shoots her in the back of the head 2 times. Then Haskell went down the line, shooting everyone 2x. So Katie Stay, who also was 33, her husband, Stephen Stay, who was 39, and 4 of their children, Rebecca, Emily, Brian, and Zachary, 6, 9, 13, and 4, were all murdered in cold blood. But Cassidy survived. She suffered a skull fracture. Now, you're a nurse. A skull fracture is kind of bad, isn't it? The skull was fractured. And she lost a finger when she held her hand up to the back of her head during the shooting. Investigators say her hand deflected the bullet just enough to change its trajectory and save not only her life, but the lives of her grandparents and Haskell's ex-wife and children. What? We had testimony that Ronald Haskell had each child and the 2 parents tied up and laying face down on the floor. Now, where were their arms tied? Were they tied behind their back, or were they tied behind their head? Well, it's kind of hard to tie hands on behind your head, and he tied them behind the back. Now, if her hands were tied on her back and she's lying face down, how do you get... I can't even get my arms up here. How do you get your arms behind your head? That's the first question I would ask. Detective, how did she get her arms the back of her head? And then they testified he shot everybody 2x. And wouldn't he see her hands are behind the head? And how can a little finger deflect the powerful bullet that's put right against your head? And she's got a skull fracture. And she was in critical condition. I'm giving you now what the constables say. I can tell you, quote, I can tell you she was bloody when she came out. It is obvious she had been shot in the head. Constable Herman said, I was amazed she was talking. Not only was she talking, she was giving investigators vital information. And she made sure they were listening to her. The constable goes on and says, she was very persistent on getting the info out, said the constable. She said it was her uncle, gave us his name, said he was going to her grandparents' house on Anvil to kill them and the rest of the family. How did she know that? Did he announce everyone? I'll kill you first if you don't tell me. Then I'm going to Grandpa's house and kill them. Then I'll go to my ex-wife. She was on a mission. She wanted to get this info out, and she averted another tragedy. The constable says deputies arrived on Anvil just in time. About 3 minutes later, they spotted suspected shooter Ronald Haskell pull onto the street. He led police on a very slow chase. And Herman said he, too, was persistent. They got this chase on video. It is a riot. Police cars are passing him up. They're getting traffic out of the way. Oh, my. It's unbelievable. Now, here's what I found. It's from a newspaper on the website. It says, Cassidy Stay, the lone survivor of a cold-blooded attack on a family from Spring, Texas, outside of Houston, has been released from the hospital, according to Children's Memorial Herman Hospital. According to a statement from the hospital, the 15-year-old was discharged earlier Friday in good condition and is expected to make a full recovery. The shooting was 1.5 days previously on Wednesday. Wait a minute. She had a what? A skull fracture? Her finger was amputated? And she was in critical condition, and she's out of the hospital in 1.5 days? You ever hear of that, Randa? A skull fracture, an amputated finger, in critical condition, and she walks out of the hospital on Friday. The shooting happened Wednesday. Whoa. Now, here's the comment from the hospital. Quote, as a hospital team, we were honored to be able to help care for this brave young woman at her critical time of need. The entire staff at Children's Memorial Hermann Hospital has been profoundly touched by Cassidy's resilient spirit, inner strength, and hopeful heart during the time of indescribable shock and grief, the hospital said in a prepared statement. What's the shock and grief? She witnessed the murder of her brothers and sisters and mother and father in cold-blooded. Can you imagine going through that? You're lying on your face and he shoots you in the back of the head twice? That would put you in such grief and torment. Look at Joyce and Tom. You didn't go through that. But my goodness, if you went through that, it'd be atrocious. They went on and said, "We extend our deepest sympathies and condolences to her and her extended family as they begin the difficult healing process." The family asked that the media please continue to respect their privacy until further notice. They would also like to thank the community, both here in Houston and all over the country, for the outpouring of love and support they have received these past days. Cassidy was a member of a family in which 6 out of 7 members were shot execution style inside a Spring, Texas home Wednesday evening. Both her parents, all her siblings from ages 4 to 13 died in the attack. Authorities say the accused gunman, 33-year-old Ron Haskell, showed up to Stay's home searching for his ex-wife, Cassidy's aunt. Investigators say he tied up Cassidy, then waited for the rest of the family to return home. Now, this version has the children with the parents instead of Cassidy babysitting. A little mistake they made. When they arrived, each one was tied up and forced to lie face down. He allegedly asked each family member where his ex-wife was. And when they said they didn't know, each one was shot in the back of the head 2 times. Investigators say Cassidy Stay saved her own life by deflecting the bullet with her hand. She reportedly lost a finger in the process. Well, it got blown off. But it changed the trajectory of the bullet just enough so it didn't do greater damage to her head. Detectives also credit the 15-year-old for saving her grandparents' life. According to investigators, I hope the investigator I talked to is a little bit smarter. She called 911. Now she's got a skull fracture, her finger blown off, and she calls 911 and she's full of blood. She called 911, reported the shootings, and told them Haskell allegedly was on his way to her grandparents' home to kill them. She had to call 911. The police were right there at her home. But before she could reach the house, investigators intercepted him, sparking a chase that was followed by an hours-long standoff. 4 hours, this guy sat in his car. I'll tell you more about that later. Haskell now faces capital murder charges and connections with the family slaying. During the court hearing Friday, he did something. He collapsed. Anybody say, he collapsed before the judge. His defense attorney said his defense likely be mental illness, so we'll never get a court case. Well, Cassidy goes to the memorial service. Now, the family was executed, what, Wednesday? She went to the hospital. She got out of the hospital what day? Friday. And the memorial service is Saturday, so Wednesday, 3 days later. She was released on Friday afternoon, just a day and a half after she went in for a skull fracture and an amputated finger from a murder scene in which her family was murdered, but she was fully recovered. The next day, Saturday, July 12th, she attends a memorial service. Was more like a party and a parade for her family and for her heroism. Allegedly, also being able to dial 911 after she was shot in the head And after she was done playing dead, unquote, fooling the shooter according to reports. Now, the memorial service was complete with special logo T-shirts, slogans, bracelets, balloons, speeches, and a donation fund ready to go in less than 72 hours. It was all very well pre-planned. There were no eyewitness accounts about hearing at least 13 or more gunshots. No bullet casings have been reported as being found. The caliber of gun used has not been reported. No media coverage or footage of the bodies of the slain Stay family. And no 911 call has been presented by the media. Every shooting false flag hoax serves multiple purposes. They are a big business and quite a racket. Usually having a donation fund ready to go immediately after the shooting, which garners tens of thousands to millions of dollars. In case of the Sandy Hook hoax, for example, a shocking $100 million has been raised. I noticed what Corey said last week. That story's still going around, buddy, that was a big hoax. Anybody ever see any of the 600 students leave the school? Any pictures? With all the cell phones? There's not one cell phone of any of the students leaving the school. You got a picture of a drill that was had months before. There's not one picture of any student leaving the school. So while serving the new ward order, gun control, and social engineering agenda, these mainstream media shooting hoaxes are also huge money scam operations. What is so shocking is that Cassidy miraculously came out of the hospital just after a day and a half and then immediately held a press conference at the elementary school in her neighborhood. This is what got me very interested in this case. She also helped in letting go of 600 balloons in the air. Oh, 100 balloons for each person shot. How many people were killed? 600 balloons. See the numbers turning up? Now, the fund, she has www.gofundme.com. And after service, I want Jim to look this up. You'll see that she's got over $400,000 in this one fund alone. $400,000. Now, here's her picture. Where's her picture? This is a good picture. I want anybody. What's wrong with this picture? Yes. See this guy's arm on her head? What's wrong with that?
That's her arm.
Huh?
Well,
that's her arm down there, but that's his arm up here. His arm is on her head. Her arm's around her back.
He looks to be a little feller.
But what's he doing? What did she have wrong with her?
Skull fracture.
Oh, skull fracture. I put on here, underneath it, I put, please watch out for my skull fracture. I was shot in the head. I was in critical condition just a couple days ago. Here is the text of Cassidy's speech at Lim Elementary School at the memorial service 3 days after she witnessed the execution-style murder of all her immediate family. She constantly smiled, and she said these words. You can look at this on the YouTube. They got the whole speech. Here's what she said. I'm really thankful for all the people that have been praying for me and keeping me and my family in their thoughts these past few days. I would like to thank all of the first responders, nurses, doctors who have taken care of me. I am feeling a lot better, and I'm on a very straightforward path to a full recovery. Well, you never were shot. Well, then there was a slight pause. Her grandfather, who also spoke, was standing behind her. You can see this on the video. He came up directly behind her and whispered a few words to her. You can't hear what he said, But then she continued, I really like Harry Potter. And she laughed and everyone clapped. What is that? I really like Harry Potter. What? You like Harry Potter the wizard? She continued, in The Prisoner of Azkaban, that was which book? That was the third book. So the third book of the series, Dumbledore says, and she quotes Dumbledore, happiness can be found even in the darkest of times if one only remembers to turn on the light. Then she continues, I know that my mom, Dad, Brian, Emily, Becca, and Zach are in a much better place, and I'll be able to see them again one day. Thank you all for coming and showing support for me and my family. Stay strong. Now, here's a little picture of her. Happiness can be found even in the darkest of times. If one remembers to him to turn on the light. Oh, quoting Albus Dumbledore. Shortly after her speech was finished, the crowd and Cassie and her family and friends released the 600 balloons, played the Monarch Mass Control. What's the Monarch Mass Control song? They sang it at Sandy Hook, the kids did. Somewhere over the rainbow. Was on the loudspeaker. All right. What did she do at the end of her speech? Anybody notice something there? Yeah. On the right hand. Left hand's where she had a bandage on the left hand, but she's got all the fingers, yes. what's the right hand? Can you see what the right hand's doing? When she finished her speech, she said, stay strong. It's like Sandy Hook strong, Boston strong. Her last name is what? Stay. So it's kind of a stay strong. And she whipped up her right hand and put that sign of the devil right there. She held up her right hand in the same manner that what? The Church of Satan leaders did to show the horns of Satan at the end of her speech at the memorial service. Now, this was 3 days after she witnessed the murder of her whole family. The shooter, her ex-uncle, tied up all seven of them, had them lie face down and shot each one twice in the back of the head. She survived by deflecting the bullet from her head with her what? Little finger. Next one. She was in critical condition. But I say she miraculously got out of the hospital in a day and a half. She had no... Think you have a bandage on your head if you suffered a skull fracture? And was bleeding like ferociously, as the constable said.
You'd have your hair shaved, too.
Your hair would be shaved. There's from the nurse. Your hair would be shaved.
Unless we just can't see
the hair. Her hair's not shaved. Very long. Cassie is once again showing, if you can see it, the sign of the Baphomet right there. She showed this sign more than a rock star would at one of their concerts. I got so impressed. She showed this sign constantly. Next one. She's shown it again. Yeah, almost every picture, she's what? She's smiling. She's happy. Her family got executed. You turn on the light, you get happy. So Dumbledore said. Here is Cassie again flashing the sign of the satanic horns. This was at the elementary school. Now get this one. Oh. This is a corker. What's this? It's the poster they made up. She's holding up the horns. Stay strong. Stay strong. They quote Dumbledore in there again and all this stuff. Here's the poster that they had made of the event that the Stay family experienced. I think it had to be very quickly drawn or had to be drawn ahead of time. And printed. Yeah, it takes time to draw it and print it up, get it out, be available in such a short time period. It could have been pre-planned. And how did they know, if it was pre-planned, that she was going to finish her speech by raising her right hand and giving that sign, just like it is in the poster? What is this? It's the conclusion of the memorial service. Now, as the balloons go into the air, the song from The Wizard of Oz sounded. Somewhere Over the Rainbow is playing on the loudspeakers when they let these balloons go. What is the meaning of the releasing of balloons at a funeral? What is that? It's becoming a recent phenomenon in the United States. Somebody's killed. They make a big shrine there where he's killed, but candles and gifts, and teddy bears, and they... I don't find the verse for those. Now, the next one. When you go to GoFundMe, you find this picture. Now, it might be hard to see here. I'll read the bottom part first. Look at the photo of Sandy Hook's Emily Parker's family. Where two of her sisters had no legs. I'll show you that picture next. Two of the sisters didn't have any legs. It don't matter. It's put out. I believe it. It's good. They put it out. It's right. Look at the mother's right arms. It's hard to see here. You can look at this after the church service and see it better. Her right arm is right there. That's the mother's right arm. The child don't have a right arm. There's a little bit of hand right down here. But she don't have a right arm. Look at the background. There's a tree right here. Tree goes right smack dab in front of her shoulder. And there's a bunch of pile wood here, and there's none over here, and the bench is crooked, and it's all messed up. This was the picture on the GoFundMe. You can look on your computer. GoFundMe.com, and you can donate to them if you want to. Let them fleece your buddy. This is the picture right there. Now, the next one's Emily Parker's picture, the two daughters with no legs. And it'd be hard to see it here, but you can look at this picture here and see it exactly. They don't have any legs. And what's this girl doing? And this girl here? It's hard to see there, but they're doing the Baphomet sign. Now, the Parkers were also a Mormon family. And the Stays were a Mormon family. Oh, we got two Mormon families. They're not Christian. They claim Christian. They're not Christian. They're Mormons. Now, Parker used to live in Utah. Then he went to Texas. Then he moved to Sandy Hook. Where are they living now? Oh, nobody knows, do they? Not reported. All right, the next one. Here's Cassidy. Oh, what's she doing? She's making another one. She wanted to make sure that she got this sign out, buddy. Almost every picture, she's making this Baphomet sign. She constantly flies this sign over and over. She is a Mormon. And she said that she liked who? Harry Potter the Wizard. She even quoted the Oculist, Dumbledore, from the third book in this series in her speech. There was no quote from who? Jesus Christ. Oh, another picture. She's doing it again. It's a little hard to see, but there it is. If you want to look at these pictures here, you can look at here. You can see it very plainly. She once again holds her right hand to demonstrate that she's a worshiper of Satan. Next one. Oh, she's on the way to the funeral. She's waving to all her fans. Oh, what's she doing? The Baphomet sign. Again, out the car window. 1 week after the execution-style shooting of her family, she arrives at the funeral services for her family members. Look at the big frown on her face. She's so upset. Look at her eyes that are so full of crying and so... It looks like she's a movie star. It was held at the pseudo-Christian church that started in the 1830s in New York. the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, better known as the Mormon Church. She's once again is holding up the Baphomet sign and smiling. Now, the next picture, it'd be hard to see it on this one. I just picked out something that shows she's not the only one that does that. Political leaders, Sandy Hook people, the Pope, foreign leaders, they all give this sign. Up at the top left is the Church of Satan. They're given the sign. There's Sandy Hook's, they're given two signs. There's Hillary Clinton, she's given the sign. There's Obama's wife, she's given the sign. There's the Pope, there's the President of Iran, there's Dan Quayle, there's Obama. I don't know who the guy at the bottom left is. Now, here's the sign right here. That's right from the witchcraft book. And down below that is the Bushes, all given the sign. And one of the purposes of rock and roll music is to promote and empower demonic spirits in their listeners. After 60 years of this music, do you think it's happened? Have you ever wondered why the vast majority of people do not embrace the covenant message? A lot of them are demon-possessed. Now, the next one. There's Freemasonry in the bottom left. There's the pentagram. And here again, I'm showing you Illuminati hand signs. Look at that. She's doing Illuminati hand signs. And down at the bottom, she's crying. The girl she's standing with looks like her sister to me. But I don't know who that girl is. Now, here's this message from the Mormon Church. Notice there's not one scripture from Jesus Christ in this message. Here's what the Mormon Church said. As you pray for the Stay family and their loved ones, please bind yourselves to act to assist them as you feel impressed by the Spirit. I wonder what spirit they're talking about. Cassidy and her family have significant trials and expenses ahead of them. Well, gee, six of them don't have expenses. They're dead. Please be aware that the family has established a trust fund for Cassidy and her family. And donations can be made at stayfamilyfund.org. I went there. You can't tell how much money is given in that fund. I don't know how to find how much money. You just donate. I don't know how you do that. This is a donation fund the family wishes to use, and 100% of the funds donated via this website go into a trust account. They are very grateful for funds donated via the GoFundMe online site. And that site remain available, and those funds will be transferred to the trust fund. Now, GoFundMe, you can tell how much money is given, and you can tell all the donors. There's close to 7,000 donors, and they have they went over $400,000 yesterday. Thank you in advance for your loving donations, and keep your family in prayer. Well, the Mormon Church just said donate. Now, Chick-fil-A, they had a fundraising for the Stay family. Did you know that? One day, they gave 20% of their earnings to the family fund from over 40 stores around the Houston, Texas area, and one in San Marcos, California, the hometown of the slain mother. So 41 stores gave 20% of their earnings, and they had all kinds of people coming in there because of a special day. In addition, July 26th, which is a week ago, was the community barbecue, which also is a fundraising event. It also raised money, some money for Cassidy, as well as brought the community together. Now, I've got this, but I want to say this. Notice that the fundraising for the prisoner that Mark preached about, Curtis, it was limited to $1,500. And when he got $1,500, it cut off. He wasn't trying to get thousands of $100,000. That money was needed for him to get this clemency going. Thank you. Now, this is found on the GoFundMe page. And it was up there before the barbecue and also after the barbecue. But you notice up there, there's the poster. There's the ribbon. And it's got Cassidy on one side. The other side says, stay strong. And down here's a picture of her holding the Baphomet sign again. And there's another Baphomet sign down there. And there's the Photoshop picture down here. So there's three pictures here with the Baphomet sign. And they all talk about they're having this celebration. This tells how much it costs and all that stuff. Oh, my conclusion. There were no interviews with Ronald Haskell's ex-wife. Anybody see an interview with her? I looked all over. I tried to find an interview. There was one picture of her with Ronald. I didn't see any interview with her. Just like there was no interviews with who? Ryan Lanza? That we saw him in New Jersey getting arrested. I guess it was New Jersey. Going in the cop car. I heard no interview with him. And I heard no interview with his father, Peter, either. Both Cassidy's mother and the shooter were 33 years old. And there was a total of six people who were slain. Six. 33 and six are an important number for the Freemasons. And it happened on July 9, 2014. Oh, July 9th. July is the seventh month and the ninth day. 7 plus 9 is 16. 1 plus 6 is 7. 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 4 is 7. Oh, 7, 7. 77 is an important number as well as 7. Oh, 33, 6, and 7 are important numbers for the Freemasons. One story said that two of the four slain children were orphans who were adopted by the Stay family. The funeral service was held at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, where the family were members. So why would Cassidy, who was a Mormon, say in her speech that she really liked Harry Potter, the wizard? What does God say that our opinion should be of wizards? Does he say that we should like them like Cassidy? Or does he say something different? It's just like the gay movement. Does God say you love everyone, or does God say something different? Leviticus 20:27. A man or a woman who hath a familiar spirit or who is a wizard, that's Harry Potter, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. It's God's law. I love Harry Potter. She shouldn't say that. But she's not a true Christian. So I have no problem if she's going to say that or not. In addition, the funeral service also quoted from the Book of Mormon. What? The contents of the book Joseph Smith Jr. allegedly translated from the golden plates that the angel told about, the contents. Now ours is what? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and so forth. Is the first two chapters of Nephi, Jacob, Enos, Jerome, Omni, the words of Mormon, Mosiah, Alma, Helaman, third and fourth Nephi, Book of Mormon, Ether, and Moroni. This is at the funeral, the Stay family. Anybody read what it said? What, they quoted something here. What does it say down at the bottom? Anybody read it? Alma. Where's Alma come from? Alma is one of the chapters of the Book of Mormon. Yeah. They're talking about eternal family. They believe the families live forever. And they go on reproducing on other planets. If you're a good Mormon, you get a planet and you keep on reproducing. That's not Christianity at all. Remember that in both of these current hoaxes, Sandy Hook and the one near Houston, Texas, the two primary candidates involved in this hoax, the Parkers and the Stays, belong to the Mormon Church. Nothing more than a pagan Freemasonic cult. In reality, the Mormon Church, The one currently headquartered in Salt Lake City, Utah, is nothing less than an anti-Christian, blasphemous arm of world Jewry. Somebody should have said that to Mitt Romney when he's running for president. He got almost 50% of the vote. It's a Judaic cult. As such, the Jewish rabbis cooperate fully with the Salt Lake religious elite in helping the Mormons achieve their earthly goals. Well, what's their earthly goal? Indeed, the real goal of the Mormon church is to exalt physical Israelite as God's chosen people and to establish a Canaanite-led global empire. At the helm of that empire, the Mormons believe will be a Canaanite king. Now, they say Hebrew king, but it's a Canaanite king. According to Mormon theology, which Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden, which was located in Independence, Missouri, the earth was closely orbiting what planet? Kolob. That's where their god lived. After the millennium, the earth returned to its rightful place near their god, orbiting Kolob. It's such a phenomenal, goofy religion. That's why you got 20 million people believing it. Now, I thought this is very interesting. Who is a Mormon in the United States? What famous people are Mormons? I was shocked to find some of these. Others I knew, others I didn't know. There are a lot of Mormons who are leaders. Well, George Romney and Mitt Romney, George and Mitt, were former governors, and they both were presidential candidates. Harry Reid, who's he? The Senate Majority Leader. He's in the news all the time. He's a Mormon. Glenn Beck, conservative radio and television host. Boy, who's going to follow that guy? He led about a million guys in Washington, D.C. 4 years ago. Boy, he put the bamboozle on those people. I was shocked to find this out. The Bengals played Kansas City last Thursday in a practice game. The coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, is a Mormon. Steve Young, NFL quarterback, who is a Hall of Famer. I did not know that Bryce Harper, who plays baseball for the Washington Nationals, is a Mormon. I did not know that Harmon Killebrew, big slugger for the Minnesota Twins, was a Hall of Famer, is also a Mormon. Vern Law, Cy Young Award winner for the Pittsburgh Pirates. This shocked me. Jack Dempsey, former heavyweight boxing champion. Billy Casper, famous golfer. I knew about this guy. J.W. Bill Marriott Jr., chairman and CEO of Marriott International. I know that hotel realm is Mormon. Gladys Knight and the Pips. I don't know if the Pips are Mormon, she's Mormon. Osmonds, Donnie and Marie, and the rest of the family are famous singers. Orrin Hatch of the U.S. Senate. Here's a shocker. Eldridge Cleaver, Black Panther leader and presidential candidate, was a Mormon. Well, the whole shooting near Houston, nothing more than a big hoax. Just like Sandy Hook, there was no crime scene pictures. The shooter led a crazy, slow chase of over two dozen police cars. The shooter stayed in his car with a gun pointed to his head for almost 4 hours. Several policemen were standing out in the open, very close to his car. He could just take this gun and shot him if it was a real story. How did Cassidy raise her hand to the back of her head when the shooter shot her two times at the back of the head? How did she? Can't do it. Cassidy is constantly giving the Baphomet sign with her right hand. Oh, I left out. How did Cassidy recover so fast from a skull fracture and an amputated finger? Her finger now is back good as ever. Cassidy's constant smiling immediately after the horrific slaughter of her immediate family. That's the biggest one there. if you saw your mother, father, and your brothers and sisters shot execution style, could you get up 3 days later and smile and give a big speech? Could you go a week later and go to the funeral and smile coming in with a benevolent smile? They will probably tear down their home and redact or classify all the important papers and reports. Our government has lied once again to its people. They continue to do this all the time. I'll give you a few briefs. The sinking of the Lusitania. The attack of the Japanese at Pearl Harbor. The Vietnamese sinking the American ships at the Gulf of Tonkin. The assassination of John F. Kennedy. The 911 hoax. The Sandy Hook Elementary School hoax. The missing Malaysian airliner 370. The crash of the Malaysian airline 117 in the Ukraine. The Benghazi attack. The revolutionary wave of demonstrations, protests, riots, and civil wars in the Arab world. Israelized attack on Gaza. When will our people learn that the only solution is to repent and to obey the commands and listen to the warnings that our God gave to us? This was a hoax that was promoted by anti-Christians, Satan-worshipping, occult-practicing apostates. Cassidy is a crisis actor hired to gain sympathy, to manipulate the masses, and to raise money. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Amen.